Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab tested, real results. Go to mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling listener, Dave Ryan here. Have you ever wondered to yourself, how many hidden gems are hidden away inside the last years of World Championship Wrestling? Have you ever asked yourself how many tenuous gags can be made about the name Mike Enos? And have you ever thought about what it sounds like for two Irishmen to interpret a very chaotic company through its B-show? The answers to all this and more are just a click away. Check out Days of Thunder every second Thursday on the Voices of Wrestling podcast network.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling podcasting network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back, myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome to Jumping Bomb Audio.
Hello and welcome back to Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. My name is Taylor, and today it is a rare episode. It is just me today on this episode. Unfortunately, Kelly having some last minute issues pop up and is not able to join today. But we wish him the best, and hopefully he will be back on the next episode of Jumping Bomb Audio. But for today, it's me and me only, but we've got a lot in the world of Joshi to talk about. I haven't done a solo episode in quite a long time, so frankly, we'll see how this goes. But as I said, we have a lot to talk about. Before we talk about all that stuff, of course, I have to get in the plugs. Follow us on Blue Sky at J-Bomb Audio. You can follow Kelly at Comic Geek Kelly. You can follow me at Tay Mambo. Subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice. And if that app of choice is Apple Podcasts, we would really love a 5-star rating and review. And if you're feeling extra generous, you can donate to the show at redcircle.com/shows/jumping-bomb-audio. So what are we talking about today? We've got some Stardom action. We've got a bunch of big shows from Marigold, from Tokyo Joshi, from Oz Academy, and much more. So let's dig in here. Let's start with Stardom. Not a huge week for them, although some newsworthy things happening on the 13th of October, just after we recorded our last episode. It was New Japan's King of Pro Wrestling opening. That show was a match for the IWGP Women's title, which saw Siri defeating Seri in 14 minutes and 56 seconds. An interesting result there. Had a lot of people wondering what was going on. And what was going on was clarified later, which we will talk about shortly. But a pretty, I would say, well-received match. Cage match is very interesting because Dave, I think, went 4.5 stars in the Observer. But I think the cage match rating is only about a 7.6 or something like that, which confused me as I was putting together my notes. So I looked at the ratings, and there were a handful of people who absolutely bombed the rating. I believe two people gave it a 2 out of 10, one of whom seemed to just generally not like women's wrestling, and the other who said it was, I believe, too violent, which is odd for the first match of a New Japan show, but I guess it is what it is. All the other ratings were pretty high, 8, 9, 10. So generally, very well received. Still not sure if the impetus for the match was the attendance for New Japan, or it seems like they just wanted to get the title off of Seri before she made a big move. What else happening in Stardom? Starlight Kid had her 10th anniversary show at Shinjuku Face. Fun show, lots of different wrestlers. Jungle Kiona coming back briefly. The main event saw Starlight Kid teaming with Dragon Kid and El Desperado, as we talked about last week, in a losing effort to Jun Kasai, Kyoko Inoue, and Shingo Takagi. 24-minute match, pretty long, but I thought fun. Certainly, I think from an in-ring perspective, nothing to go out of your way to see, but I thought it was a fun sort of interactions match, some more rare interactions going on. Of course, Shingo back in the ring with Dragon Kid, which was interesting, seeing Starlight Kid in there with Jun Kasai and Shingo. Had some fun. El Desperado and Dragon Kid both getting unmasked and then briefly switching masks. So if you've ever wanted to see Dragon Kid wearing El Desperado's mask, this is the match for you. It's on YouTube. I believe it was originally supposed to be on New Japan World, but happened the day that the Amazon web server issue happened. So in order to stream it, they put it on YouTube. It is still at this moment on YouTube. I don't know if they're planning on taking it down at any time, but a very easy watch there in terms of Stardom. But one of the big shows of the week was Marigold Grand Destiny, one of their big quarterly, I guess you could call them. I think they're going to, moving forward, do 4 of these a year. So one of their big quarterly shows, Grand Destiny, on October 26th. Attendance was very good, over 3,400 fans. If I had to guess, based on the show and the reactions, I would guess that a lot of that attendance came from Io Sky in the main event, who, to my ears, got what was by far the biggest reaction of any wrestler on the roster. That match got the biggest reaction, I also thought, by far on the show. But overall, I thought actually the show was pretty solid. I don't think it was a blowaway show. I don't think it was, probably wouldn't make it into my show of the year contender pile, but I thought it was a very strong show, especially considering some of their previous big shows where you sort of are struggling until you get to the semi-main and main event, which sort of cover up a lot of those issues that Marigold has had and still has. But I thought a solid show. You know, my opinion is it worth an extra $25 on top of the monthly fee for Wrestle Universe? I'm not sure of that, and I wish that Wrestle Universe would stop doing that, because it annoys me to have to pay more for wrestling I'm already paying for, and I think it actually devalues other things on Wrestle Universe when you essentially say, well, this wrestling is more important than this other wrestling, so we're going to charge more money for it. Just my opinion, but that's what that is. But anyway, to the matches themselves. The opening match was the Generations singles match. Kazuna Tanaka defeating Shino in 6 minutes with both of their mothers ringside. I actually thought this match was a great kickoff to the show. Really enjoyed it. Thought it had some hard-hitting action to it. Only 6 minutes, so didn't overstay its welcome. And I think compared to a lot of the other younger wrestlers in Marigold, Tanaka and Shino looked much better than many of the less experienced wrestlers in Marigold. So I thought a very strong start to the show. The next match was a gauntlet tag team match, ended up being won by Gigaton and the debuting Shoko Kushina, who defeated, well, ended up being the winners. It was a very straightforward gauntlet match in that a team would come in, they would beat the team in the ring, and then they would lose to the next team that came out. So not really any surprises there, not any sort of deep shock runs here. Also odd, I don't know if they did this on Japanese commentary, but on English commentary, they stressed that you could be eliminated by going over the top rope, and at no point did anyone, I don't even think there was a tease of anyone going over the top rope, much less someone getting eliminated by doing this or by doing that. Match itself, I thought, was fairly average, below average. Very much a sort of get people on the card type of match. I thought Chen Yoda and Ariane Yamanaka were probably the best team in the match. But isn't super saying much. Most of these were fairly short. You know, Gigaton was the mysterious TBA wrestler in the match, and I can't say I was all that excited when it was revealed that it was Gigaton. But, you know, wish it would have been a shorter get everyone on the show match. I think it went almost 20 minutes. So quite a long time. Nothing really standing out, but was largely, I would say, inoffensive. The next match was our first of two surprise participant matches. This one was M, who was facing Megaton, and that turned out to be, the M stands for Minoru Suzuki. Have to say, did not enjoy this. I don't like Megaton. and I have grown fatigued in general of the Minoru Suzuki visiting match that seemingly happens everywhere. I think the last version of this that was any good, and maybe I'm slightly biased because I did see this one live, was Suzuki against Homicide in GCW, which at this point I think might have happened 2 years ago. Just nothing really of any interest here to me. Nothing new in the format. And I don't find Megaton all that funny or rootable or whatever they're going for with her. So, to me, big skip on this one. The next match, the second of the two surprise matches, was Seri returning to Marigold to take on and defeat Chika Goda in 11 minutes and 40 seconds. Match itself, I thought, was nothing all that great. Pretty average, standard match. Interesting to see Seri back, you know, thinking about her back in Marigold. It really is shocking. I don't know exactly how long. I guess I could look this up. In terms of the exact time that she has been away from Marigold. But interesting for her to come back and me to really have nothing in my head of any sort of excitement for new matches for her. And now looking it up, her last show was January 3rd when she lost the title to Otami. Really, there is no one new in this company that has come in the last nine, almost 10 months that has any interest with me in facing Seri. Felt like she still had a number of matches in Stardom, and we don't know what will happen with the Stardom stuff, because supposedly she is, Seri is supposed to be on the Stardom Korakuen Hall show that is happening tomorrow as we record. I believe it may have already happened by the time this episode comes out, so you may know more than I do at this point. But personally for me, a bit of a bummer to see Seri go back to Marigold, where I think she doesn't have a lot of interesting matchups that I want to see in ring-wise. But we will have to see what happens there. Next match was the first title match of the evening. It was for the Marigold Twin Star titles. Darkness Revolution, Chiaki and Misa Matsui defeating the Magenta duo of Maria and Riko Kawahata. Match went under 11 minutes. I thought it was pretty passable, especially for Darkness Revolution, who usually have a lower floor on their matches. Thought it was perfectly acceptable. Still pretty early in the card, so I think they weren't really trying to hit a home run. But a solid, fine match. As I said, compared to some of these previous big shows that Marigold has had, I think somewhat of an accomplishment that it was solid and passable, as some of these higher-up matches on the big shows have not been good. So there's something to be said for that. The next match was a special singles match to Hiro Hashimoto defeating Siri Yamaoka in 11 minutes and 34 seconds. I thought this one was really well worked, really solid. I went 4 stars on it. It's about what you would expect from the two of them, certainly from Chihiro. A lot of grappling early in the match. My biggest drawback, my biggest probably negative, the finish felt a bit odd. It felt a bit abrupt. I thought that they would probably build or want to build to some big knockout blow from Hashimoto, you know, the power bombs that she usually gives. She pinned Yamaoka with an interesting pin where she trapped her leg almost in like a submission with the leg with a pin, which I thought was interesting, but it sort of came out of nowhere and made the ending feel very abrupt. And I still think with Sari, they're still trying to build this thing of, oh, she's battle, you know, she's not winning, but she's battling the best. You know, she had just taken on Mayu for the Superfly title and lost that. So she isn't winning, but battling. And the end of the match, that story didn't really come through because it felt like Hashimoto just sort of said, oh, here's a pin I can do that you can't get out of. And the answer was, you're right. Yamaoka can't get out of it. So a little bit of a disappointment there, but I thought the main thrust of the action was very strong, like the grappling. It was a little bit of a change of pace, especially compared to, you know, a few matches before and a few matches after. So always good to have that more sort of technical match in there to have something a little different than what was coming up. Speaking of what was coming up, that was the Marigold United National title match. Victoria Yuzuki defeating Mai Sakurai in 20 minutes and 36 seconds to win the title. Mai Sakurai finally loses that title. And, you know, I think I'm the OG Mai Sakurai hater in the world. I thought that this was very good. I went 4 stars again. Thought it was a really good, well-worked match. Hard-hitting. Just well-worked. I think it was in some ways more simplified. You know, it didn't have that big, the thing that I've sort of come to expect from Victoria Yuzuki, which is, you know, trying too much and hit, you know, having some botch in the middle of the match that sort of takes it down for me. I thought that they kept it very straightforward, and I thought it was very good. I went 4 stars on it, so definitely worth checking out as well. The semi-main of the show was for the Marigold World title, and Miko Aono defeating Utami in 26 minutes and 25 seconds to win the title. Kelly and I know, had talked about this at least on the last episode, if not a few episodes before that. 100%, I think, the right decision to get the title off Utami. You've got to start trying some big things with some of these people. As I said, this sort of goes back to the Sari point I made. This is not a company that has done well with lifting these mid-carders up. You know, Miku, I think they have done a good job with. She has gone up. I think Mai Sakurai has been good. I think Victoria Yuzuki has also been pretty good, although I think a lot of her push has come from a place of sort of proving people wrong as opposed to a natural ascendancy in many ways. I think probably, as I mentioned, all of those, you know, she is not a finished, polished effort in my eyes, but I think a lot of it is she came from stardom. You know, they want to say, you know, she was built as the first super rookie of Marigold. And so I think regardless of what she was doing in ring, and she has improved and has gotten better, I think she was always getting this push as a sort of, hey, look what we did. We always knew all along how great she was, sort of thing. Other than that, you look at this roster again, and we've said this before, people are not moving up. They are not really improving. You know, Chika Goto had a fine match with the best wrestler in the world. It was on the mid card, to be fair, you know, but Chika Goto is doing that giant swing that looks like she might not even get a single revolution on some of those giant swings. And it's very hard to Beyond Wrestle Universe, you can hit three buttons and get to a Miyu match where she does the giant swing on huge people. And she swings them. And Chika Goto is big. And they had a weird thing before where she was getting, you know, yelled at because she had gained weight, which is a thing that has always been a Rossi thing that I hate and never like. But the whole thing was, they said on English commentary, well, she added the weight because she wants to add strength. And then she goes to do the giant swing on Siri, and she can barely get her around. You know, I think a lot of these people are not improving at the rate that they need to be in order to really help this company. I think that Rossi took a big shot in signing a lot of people who had potential and were not quite there yet. And I think of the people he signed, almost all of them have not gotten close to that potential for one reason or another. We'll see. But it is good to have Miko. You need someone. You need to try and make a new star. Because the biggest story coming out of... two of the biggest stories coming out of this show are Io Sky, who doesn't wrestle for you, and Seri, who could leave again at any moment. You know, unless it comes out that she signed a big contract with Marigold after this recording. You know, that is your big story. Miko is one of the big stories, but not really the biggest story by far on this show. And this match, I thought it was good. Didn't think it was great. I know that just from checking briefly, I believe online it's been very divisive. I went another 4 stars. I thought it was good. I thought for the position on the card, what they sort of needed to do, I thought it probably should have been better. So in this case, it's a bit of a disappointing 4 stars as opposed to something like Hashimoto Yamaoka, which is like, this is 4 stars. Great. Just, you know, Utami is in a weird place now where she feels like she's gone over. She hasn't really had any, you know, big tests because now she's champion and she's sort of been waiting for someone to show up, and it's like, well, it's going to be Miku, and because we need to do this, as opposed to, oh, here comes this unstoppable force that is finally going to knock Utami off of her throne. What does Utami do after this? I'm sure that she'll stay in the upper mid card. You know, this is the same problem a couple years ago in Stardom that we had, which was Rossi was very good at getting people to win the title and to hold the title for a long time. But once they lost that title, it was sort of like, what is the point of this person in this promotion? I don't know what Utami will do. I'm sure she'll still have many good matches. But again, as I said, I like the show. I'm giving a bunch of things 4 stars, and we've got an even better match coming up. There are still so many things about this promotion that maybe are not red flags, but maybe are yellow flags or caution flags that make me say this is a bit of a straw house in some ways. And that in many ways leads into the main event, which was Io Sky in a special singles match defeating Mayu Iwatani in 26 minutes and 28 seconds. And as I said when this match was announced, fantastic match. I went 4.5 stars. It is what you would expect from these two wrestlers, two of the top Joshi wrestlers of the last 10, 20 years, if not longer. The English commentary was pushing that these were the two greatest of all time in Joshi. I'm not sure I would go that far, but two excellent wrestlers, two wrestlers who have a history. I thought this was excellent. I thought it was, you know, high-flying, hard-hitting, everything you need, well-worked, interesting, you know, take-your-breath-away sort of stuff 4.5 stars. But again, the show ends, and who's on top? Io Sky, a WWE wrestler who's turning right around, getting on a plane, and will not be seen until maybe the next show. And your finishing image is this great wrestler, an all-timer that you brought in, and she's losing in the main event. To me, I think Io probably drew a good portion of this house, like I said, based on the reaction. Io Sky came out, she looked like a star, and the fans treated her like a star. The fans were pretty quiet for most of the evening, so quiet that they mentioned it on English commentary. I don't remember who it was on English commentary, but someone went, "Oh, the fans have been quiet all night, but Io Sky, the star, is here, and she has the fans behind her." And that is a red flag to me. You know, I think there were also some cheers for Mayu. I think people were into the match. They were excited for the match. That's great. But I'm not sure if you take this match off the top and your main event is Miko against Utami, I'm not sure what your attendance is for this show. Again, great match. Has nothing to do with the two of them. But feels a little bit like wallpapering over the holes in your room that you say, "Oh, it looks beautiful." And the minute there's a stiff breeze, that wallpaper's going through that hole.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game. Delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta could make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at Kinsta.com. That's Kinsta.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
So again, a show I really liked. I think everything starting with Hashimoto Yamaoka is at least worth seeing. Even, you know, the Miku Utami match, which I thought was slightly underwhelming, but was still very good. But it is not a show. Kelly and I have talked a lot about Marigold on the show. People know our opinions. It is not a show that I leave thinking, wow, they had these issues and they're starting to solve those issues. I think Miku holding a title, I think Yuzuki holding a title is helpful. But this company remains, and maybe gets even more so with Sari returning, extremely top-heavy. And as, frankly, as Miku and Victoria Yuzuki move up, it also becomes more top-heavy because now, you know, you can argue where is the United National title in the world of Marigold. But now they're at the top. Who is the mid-card? What mid-card, great mid-card wrestler is there here. I guess maybe Sarah Yamaoka, but she loses all the time. You know, who are the mid-card, the great mid-carders in this company? There aren't that many of them, if any of them. So, that's my thoughts on Grand Destiny. Check it out. And what else happened in the world of Joshi? Oz had their big yearly show at Yokohama Budokan in front of 1,989 fans. The big main event was the eight-person tag team elimination match. Ozaki Goon defeating Hate to get back the Oz title. Mayumi Ozaki will not have to join Hate as their lowest-ranked member. Have to say, this main event, very disappointing for me. If you've listened to the show for a while, you will know that these big Oz Academy show main events are some of my, in some years, my match of the year. I think I've given two of them 5 stars, and I may have given a few others 4 and change. When they're good, they're very good. I understand they're not good every year. You know, not every main event hits, but I thought that this was not very good at all. I actually thought it was fairly boring. Went almost 50 minutes, 47 minutes and 51 seconds. And again, not to repeat myself ad nauseum here, Natsuko Tora is not a big match wrestler. The match was centered around her and Ozaki, and really everyone else in the match was support. Even those, you know, there were people at ringside, which was Mayukihi and Konami and Momo Watanabe. Everyone in the match besides Tora and Ozaki were window dressing. And it was supposed to come down to this whole thing. And, you know, Tora is shooting mist in Ozaki's face and Ozaki counters it and shoots mist in her face. And it just doesn't come together for me because Tora has no, she does not have the natural charisma that draws your attention in this type of match. I will also say personally, some of these Oz big matches that I have enjoyed, they come out and they just beat the hell out of each other. And people are bleeding all over the place. I mean, I'm thinking of, I don't remember how many years ago this was at this point. 3 years? The Ozaki-Sarah Yanoh singles match that was on their big show where Sarah Yanoh came out and bled buckets. And it was crazy and it was hard-hitting. And so many of these Hate matches, so many of these Natsuko Tora matches feel like cosplay hardcore matches. You know, we bring a ladder out briefly. Oh, we have a couple of chairs that we land on. I was actually surprised to see that Tora did, I believe, blade at one point and did bleed. Unfortunately, the drawback with Tora is she has red face paint on, so it was sort of hard to tell that she was bleeding, which took away from it. Ozaki bled at the end all over, and I was like, where has this been the whole time? But it's these sort of, we are going to fight until we can't fight anymore, and oh, how are we going to fight? Oh, we're going to hit each other a couple times with chairs. Other than that, it was just a long multi-person match. That wasn't all that interesting to me. If I was Saya Kamatani, I'd be like, put me in charge of this group ASAP. Because Saya Kamatani comes in and feels like a real star in a way that really, no one else in this match did, certainly on the Hate side. But yes, very disappointing for me as someone who has loved a lot of these matches in the past. This did not do it for me at all. And I would I would say skip unless you've got an hour that you really want to kill. because this match is very long and it doesn't really build much until I would say maybe the last 5 minutes, which is the Tora Ozaki final showdown. But very disappointing for me. Hopefully next year Oz will not have hate involved and can put together one of their classic great matches at the big show. Tokyo Joshi also had a Korakuen Hall show additional attack on October 18th, 719 fans. Pretty solid number. Won't run through all of these matches. I thought the show in general was fine. Didn't go higher than 3¾, which was for the main event. But I thought that there was a lot of solid stuff here, but nothing that really blew me away. One thing I have to say, we had another DDT Iron Man heavy metal weight title match here with Kiryu retaining the title. My opinion, I'm good on these matches. I don't need any more. We've had them on about 7 consecutive bigger shows here, and they aren't all that interesting to me. It's very odd to me, these matches where it's like, it's the Iron Man heavy metal weight title, and the match just happens, and the person who has the title just wins and keeps the title. If this were me, the match ends, I would go up to that person and try and pin them. Like, that's the fun of it, is that all these wacky things can happen, and yet this was very straightforward, and we're using almost the same people in these matches. You know, it's Raku, it's Palm. Suzume somehow got pulled into this vortex, but it's just repeating the same joke over and over again, and there weren't even that many jokes in this match. So, you know, that's what I think of those matches. I hope we don't see them for a while. I'm happy to see them come once in a while, but I don't need them, and I really don't want them on every show. In terms of the rest of the show, they had the Trial Series 3 matches. Of course, Miyu Yamashita, Shoko Nakajima, and Mizuki in each singles match defeating Shino Suzuki, Uta Takami, and Haru Kazushiro. No surprise there that they win. I was actually upside down of the cage match ratings, because my favorite of the three was Yamashita and Suzuki, which currently has the worst average on cage match. I just think Yamashita is so much more better suited for this type of testing ground type match, where she can go out there and she can, you know, take some offense from the person where it doesn't look like you're making it quite 50-50. And then at any moment, she can just be like, we're done here, and hit the skull kick and it's over, which is what happened in this match. You know, Shino got some hope spots, but it never really felt like, oh, Shino's turning the tables on her. Where in the other two matches, I think there is a desire to, you don't want to just come out and in 2 minutes say, oh, the match is over. But I think sometimes in the desire to not make it that, it feels like they're making it very 50-50. And I'm like, look, they're improving, they're getting better. But, you know, Mizuki sort of going 50-50 with Haru for 9 minutes is a bit odd to me, where Yamashita can take in the offense. She has the personality, she has the character to sort of be like, okay, we're going to have a slugfest, and then at the end, I'm just going to wipe you off the face of the earth. So that was my favorite match. I didn't think any of them were bad by any stretch of the imagination, but I thought they were pretty standard sort of veteran rookie matches, except for the Yamashita-Suzuki one. Yuki Arai defeated Hyper Masao in a Who Wants to Be a Millionaire-style match. Thought it was sort of lightly amusing, but it largely meant that there was no match, because they would sort of wrestle for 15 seconds, get a two count, and then the whole thing would stop as they had to answer trivia. So really nothing there match-wise. Then there were the three title matches on the top of the card. The International Princess title, Ariso Endo defeating Alice Crowley in 11 minutes and 49 seconds. Wasn't blown away by this match, but I thought it was really solid. I went 3.5 stars. I actually liked Alice. I don't know that I had ever seen her before. Maybe I'd seen her in a match or two that I didn't remember. Thought she was very solid. Thought she had some interesting offense. She had pulled Ariso into the top rope backwards at one point, which I thought was interesting. Thought she hit some good lariats. I thought she showed well. I think a big, maybe not a big issue with Tokyo Joshi, but sort of a lid on these international princess title matches with a visiting wrestler is that I think a lot of the energy of the match, certainly from whoever it is, in this case, Ariso, who is wrestling the visiting wrestler, I think there's a lot of effort that goes into making that other wrestler comfortable in this sort of new environment and making sure it's sort of a match that you're like, we're going out here, we're having a title match, but we're not going to go out and try and, you know, be spectacular craziness that things could go wrong. They're essentially driving down the safe part of the street and making sure they get from, you know, point A to point Z, which is the end of the match, without anything crazy going on. So I think that there never is really a big opportunity for someone to come in and for you to say, oh my God, what a showing, unless they have some natural, you know, like Jada Stone has some natural athleticism where in the ring, naturally, when she's doing some of her moves, you go, oh wow, that's really great. Many people don't have that. But I thought Alice did well. She seemed, you know, excited to be there. They had a great post-match, you know, handshake, hug, that clearly showed that Alice was happy to have been in the match, happy to have gotten the opportunity. But I thought that she showed enough that I would be interested in seeing her again. And maybe getting that opportunity to show a little bit more of what she can do, maybe take a little bit more risks and have that sort of, you know, maybe higher than 3.5, 4-star match. But again, I thought it was very solid, good match, didn't overstay its welcome, so I went 3.5 stars. The semi-main was the Princess Tag Team title match. Ober Eats, the team of Wakina Uehara and Yuki Kamifuku, defeated Toga and Yuna Manase in 14 minutes and 51 seconds. Not a ton to say about this match. I thought it was pretty. I think I went 3.25 stars. Thought by far the highlight of the match was the Wakina Toga segments. I think I'm a lot more excited for those, which are sort of the young up-and-comer. Even if they're not, there was no sequence that blew me away or I thought, oh, that's an incredible thing for them to do. But I thought it was solid and I thought it showed a lot of potential as opposed to the Yuki Yuna stuff, which is like, okay, you're veterans. I know what, you know, we know what we have there by and large with the two of you. Whereas Wakina and Toga, I think there's a lot of potential on both sides there. And you can see a little bit of it when they face off against each other. So I thought it was fairly average match, but happy to see sort of two of those middle younger wrestlers getting this opportunity to show a little bit more. And then the main event of the show was the Princess of Princess title match. Miyu Watanabe, her first defense of her second reign, defeating Yuki Aino in 17 minutes and 49 seconds. I went 3.75. It looks like I'm a little bit lower than the average. The cage match is 8.45, so around 4.25 stars. I thought that they were very ambitious in this match, and I think that they didn't quite hit what they were aiming for. I think a large part of that was there was a lot of the match that was focused on sort of these shoulder tackle battles, you know, and the story that Yuki is one of the rare wrestlers in Tokyo Joshi that in some ways does match up well strength-wise against Miyu. The only issue is I think that Tokyo Joshi still, you know, the in-ring stuff has gotten a lot better than it was many years ago. I still think they work fairly light in sort of the spectrum of all Joshi wrestling as we think about it, which is not necessarily a problem, but I think it created a little bit of an issue here where the story of your match is like, we are two fierce opponents and we're slamming into each other and we're going to knock each other down. When that happens, I need to see like slam and I need to be like, whoa, they are running into each other. And I never quite felt that. And again, I thought they got overly ambitious in spots. There was that spot on the top rope where Yuki went for something. I couldn't even tell. Mr. Haku on commentary also didn't seem to know what it was, but said, oh, maybe it was a Venus DDT on the ring post. But it didn't look like anything. And it was clear that no one really knew what had happened and sort of created this odd moment of everyone, the audience, the commentators, me, sort of being like, what just happened there? So I thought that there was that spot and a couple other spots where it was clear that they were going for sort of this big fight feel, but didn't quite get there, which dragged it down a bit for me. But I thought it was solid. Again, went 3 3/4. So this show, you know, if you've got some time, I think the top three are okay, but I don't think there's anything here that if you didn't see it, end of the year, whatever time, you would think back and go, oh, I can't believe I missed that one. The other quick Tokyo Joshi update is they just had a show a few hours ago, Uta Takami defeating Chika Nanase to win the Next Generation Tournament. Chika defeating Kira Summer from the non-winner bracket to get to the finals. They faced off. Actually, Chika won the first match, but she needed to win two matches in a row because she was coming out of the non-winner bracket to win the tournament. So she won the first match, but Uta won the second match and so wins that tournament. And then finally, we talked about it last time. Ice Ribbon had a Korakuen Hall show just a little bit ago on October 26th. I haven't seen anything about the attendance yet. I'm very interested to see what that attendance is. Because if you didn't hear, we talked last time on the show about Ibuki Hoshi not only in the semi-main event, but in the main event. Unfortunately, she suffered an ACL injury. And so they had to reshuffle the cards in very Ice Ribbon fashion, of course. So the main event was still Manami Katsu, but defended against Kaho Matsushita, defeating her to retain the title. They didn't have a tag title match on the show, so the only other title match on that show was Akane Fujita defeating Tsukino Umino. Again, haven't heard anything about attendance. I think their last Korakuen Hall show did 382, which was a slight improvement, but still at or near the basement of Korakuen Hall shows for the year. So very interested to see what the attendance would be for that show, considering that the top two matches got affected. So hopefully we will hear more about that in the upcoming days. And then what is coming up in Joshi Wrestling in the next 2 weeks? Well, Stardom has a number of shows. They have, as I mentioned, a Korakuen Hall show happening tomorrow as we record this. It will have already happened by the time this is released. Two title matches, Mei Sierra and Waka Tsukiyama will face off for the high-speed title. And Natsuko Tora and Ruwaka will defend their tag titles against Rina Yamashita and Itsuki Aoki. New Blood 26 is coming up on the 30th. Hanako and Waka Tsukiyama will defend their tag titles against Aya Sakura and Saika Karara. And the next big show at the top of November is Crimson Nightmare. A lot of big matches on this show. Saki Kashima will take on Bozilla in a special singles match. Starlight Kid will defend the Wonder of Stardom title against Konami, and Saya Kamatani will face Momo Watanabe in a double title match for the World of Stardom title and the New Japan Strong title there. So some big matches. That's their next big show. And then after that show, the Stardom Tag League will begin moving into November. And so we're moving into Tag League season. Other than that, not too much coming up. Seedling has a show on November 2nd. Oz has a show on November 9th. And Tokyo Joshi has another Korakuen Hall show on November 9th. They had announced the challengers before the last Korakuen Hall show, I think to drive up the interest. But three title matches. But one of the matches already announced. Hiroyo Matsumoto coming back to Tokyo Joshi, teaming with Yuki Arai to face Yuna Manase and Toga. And then the three title matches, Shoko Nakajima will defend her MLW featherweight title against Viva Van. Yuki Kamifuku and Wakano Uehara, the tag champions, will face Himawari and Shino Suzuki. And Miyu Watanabe will face J-Rod, former American Gladiator, for the Princess of Princess title. So not a huge card, but some interesting title matches there. And speaking of title matches, Wave will have a Korakuen Hall show on November 2nd. That will have Kohaku and Itsuki Aoki for the Regina, the Wave title. So that is everything coming up in the world of Joshi. This has been Taylor by myself here on Jumping Bomb Audio, hoping that next time we talk, Kelly will be back. But until then, enjoy Joshi wrestling and see you later.
Hi, I'm Andrew Rich. And if you're like me, you look at the state of modern wrestling discourse and think, wow, what a cesspool. That's why I'm here to tell you about Music of the Mat Remix. That's right, your favorite wrestling music podcast is back with a new format, where I bring on a guest and we play songs related to wrestling-themed topics. It could be a wrestling reference, a wrestling concept, a wrestling pun, things of that nature. Now you might be saying, Andrew, that is a very, very tenuous connection to pro wrestling on a wrestling podcast network. Is this just an excuse to hang out with your friends and talk about music and ignore the rest of the wrestling landscape? Yes. Yes, it is. So listen to Music of the Mat Remix on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network, available on Apple, Spotify, or your podcast player of choice.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends, to breakdowns on individual performers and angles, to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.